Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. The Buffalo Bills continue to play football. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. An emphatic 31-7 victory over the Broncos sets up a Week 4 rematch.
That's such a funny way to put it, though.
Like emphatic?
No. The Bills are still playing football.
Bills are still playing football, baby. Still alive.
More than other teams can say.
14-win Vikings team? That's a tough way to end last night.
Sam Darnold.
That's a tough way to
biggest
end.
Loser of the week. He just lost out like at least $100 million.
And it's only like 15 or 16 days ago that like he was being hoisted up by his teammates, champagne's going everywhere,
and he looked
like the king of Minnesota. And like 15, 16 or so days later, you're like, up.
I mean, to be fair,
they might pack his bags for him.
He was sacked 9 times.
I'd argue a lot of them were on him. Watching that game, it was like, Sam, dude, do anything. Move around it, and to be fair, also, and we'll get to the Bills and Ravens coming up here. But to be fair to Sam too, O'Connell, hey, stop throwing deep balls.
Maybe don't do that. It's not working this time.
Get the ball out of his hands quick.
It's also really funny that the only two losses the Vikings had, or they had three losses.
Yes.
Sorry, but still, the two losses that matter here are to the Lions and the Rams. The Lions twice, and the Rams twice, technically, if you count the postseason.
That's tough.
Like, and then the one to, or no, I think that's it, right?
No, that's it. That's
yeah,
it. That's the last three times.
Yeah. Just tough
luck. First ever 14-win wild card team.
To not win?
They lose to Detroit twice. They lose to the Rams twice. That's rough.
Terrible.
That's rough. And that kind of capped off a really bad wild card weekend. If you were a neutral fan, it sucked.
Hey, like, I was six for six.
You were six
in
for
our
six.
Picks.
But
I picked the two underdogs and you picked all the favorites.
But objectively, like all of the games were bad, except for one.
Yeah.
Washington and Tampa was awesome. That was great.
If you were a neutral fan, though,
trying to like enjoy like good football, good games, what have you, terrible. Terrible
and,
games.
Real quick with the Washington-Tampa game, what's crazy is Mike Evans actually played. Like, he didn't get shut down by Marshon Lattimore. Like, he was going off in that game. And I think that was a big part of the reason why it looked so lopsided for so long. And then, obviously Jaden Daniels is inevitable and comes back and wins because that's what the Commanders do.
I don't think
season.
That game was ever lopsided. It just kind of felt like it's going to go back and forth. Lattimore's not getting any stops.
Well, that's I think why it felt maybe a little lopsided. Like if you're watching it, expecting Lattimore to kind of shut Evans down, and then he's the leading receiver with 92 yards and a touchdown. Like you said, it was never lopsided. It was really back and forth the whole way. It was 10-10 by the end of the first half, 17-13 going into the fourth. But again, it felt like Tampa was kind of like going in the right direction just because of the fact that, you know, Washington didn't really have much for Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, to be fair, Tampa had no answer for Terry McLaurin or Deame Brown, of all people, who was the number two receiver for Washington. A lot of fun that game. Everyone else kind of bad. Hopefully the division round is much better. I do love the matchups. We do have some breaking news, though, for the Bills. It is not too surprising if you've been paying attention to Twitter. We do already have the legend of the game for the divisional round, and it is, in fact, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He will be the legend of the game when the Bills take on the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday at 6:30. I'm very excited. I thought Kyle Williams did a very, very good job. Fitz, I imagine after him doing the whole video of him shaving his chest hair, out shirtless.
He was not shaving his chest hair. He hit a pick.
Yeah.
But Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. Apparently on the one podcast. What podcast was it? I don't know. I can't remember the podcast now. I think, but regardless, Fitz said he would shave his beard and wax.
Eric Woods podcast, yes, centered on Buffalo.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't remember. It was Eric's podcast. He would shave his beard and wax his chest if the Bills win the Super Bowl.
That's nice.
So.
That's good.
Perfect legend of the game to follow up Kyle Williams. Because honestly, like, Kyle Williams did an incredible job, and I think the only person that could follow him up and maybe do a better job or just as good of a job is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm more just excited for this game. This is a rematch I've wanted since week 6-7-ish, like once they got Amari Cooper in, mm-hmm. once their defense got healthy. This is kind of the rematch I wanted. I think it is going to be two heavyweights going after it. I heard Howard Simon on earlier today doing Pick the Bills, and he thinks – whoever wins this game is going to the Super Bowl. I agree. I think both these teams are better than the Chiefs. I think they're both playing better than the Chiefs currently, even with Kansas City sort of kind of finding their mojo a little bit. And I'm excited. I can't wait. I think this game is going to be amazing. And there's storylines galore for both teams because both teams, you know, the last time the Bills kind of played them, they were down three of their starters for Baltimore. They're just feeling that their defense was terrible in the first half of the season. Now it's one of their best units. And then you have the MVP battle. We won't know who wins it. I think it's the voting is done, and I think it's pretty much done. I think it is going to be Lamar Jackson. And so there's that bit of storyline as well of Lamar coming into Buffalo with the feeling that he did steal the MVP from Allen. That crowd is going to be ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a night game. It's the last game of the divisional round because it's Sunday at 6:30. And I think it's the best one by a mile and a half.
What's the early game that day?
The early game that day, let me just pull up the schedule here. That is going to be Rams-Eagles.
Ooh, okay.
Which is also good. That's a
good game, too. Yeah, that'll be a nice little lead up to the Bills-Ravens game. If you were excited for last week's game, just amplify that by 10, and that's how I feel. Like, this game this week, I think, is going to be really just incredible to watch. It's going to – if you're a neutral fan watching this game, it's going to be amazing. Even if you're a fan of either of these teams, you know, obviously one of them's going to lose, one of them's going to win, but it's going to be a great game, I think, all the way around. The Bills are, fully healthy, knock on wood, with – guys like Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, they're back. They weren't in the week four games. You didn't get to see what they would do against this Baltimore offense. The Baltimore defense is better than it was. So you kind of get to see that in action and see if it can continue. And I think this is kind of a big time prove it game for Lamar Jackson because he's had so many problems over the past few years with all of these, can't do it in the playoffs, mm-hmm. falls apart in the playoffs. Why'd they change the game plan in the playoffs? Like, all of these storylines. And to be fair, he did win last week, but it was against the Steelers. Like, to me, that was like the Broncos beating the Chiefs.
Yep.
In week 18. It meant nothing. It was a nothing win because the Steelers looked just complacent the entire time.
I think that's the thing is, for the Steelers win too, like as impressive as it was, the main storyline from everybody, even people who are really big fans of the Ravens, has been just how poor Pittsburgh looked.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not saying you can take a ton from, say, the Bills-Broncos when the Broncos looked outclassed, even when the Bills were sort of slow playing it, not getting everything going.
Yeah.
They eventually did and just kind of ran them out of the house.
But even with the win the way it was for the Ravens, Russell Wilson still threw for 270 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that's, you know, holy cow, but at the same time, for a team that looked really complacent and kind of dead in the water for most of the game, it's pretty good. Like, it's not bad. Obviously, you know, the big catalyst here is Derrick Henry. 186 yards and two touchdowns against the Steelers, ultimately leading Lamar Jackson to have only 175 passing yards and two passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's tough to look at this Steelers game for the Ravens because you kind of got to look at who they were playing. And same with the Bills against the Broncos, like you just said. They're two vastly inferior opponents that you kind of knew that going in. I mean, sure, there was a little more hype around Bills Broncos because the Broncos are young and hungry or whatever. And mm-hmm. they were good in the first quarter. Like, and to be fair, Bo Nix, I think, had a good game. He just needs more help.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's you hit a point where in the playoffs, okay, you were a year, I don't want to say necessarily a year ahead of schedule. I say that a lot for like teams like them and the Chargers, but you clearly had room to build.
Yeah,
you can leave this loss going, okay, we know where we need to get. We have our quarterback, or at least we think we do, and you can kind of start taking a step forward. I think for either team, Baltimore or Buffalo, it would have been disastrous if either one lost. I feel bad for whoever loses this game now, too. Mike Schoep was mm-hmm. talking about it yesterday. I couldn't agree more. With the amount of pressure that's on both of these teams, and I said it with Sal last week, whoever wins is going to gain a lot of credibility in playoff performances, in everything, because all of a sudden for Lamar, it would have been making two straight AFC championship games. Harbaugh, you know, you're beating Josh Allen on the road. I think this would be his 10th road playoff victory as well. He's already tied for the most. I believe he's at 9 now. And so there would be that big buildup of like, okay, like we're okay. And if they win, I have to assume Lamar has played a good game. I have to. Or at least not a bad game. And so that would build his credibility. For the Bills, you're getting past the division around. And you've now beaten some pretty solid competition to get there. Bo Nix had 29 touchdown passes as a rookie. You held them to 7 points. Late into the third, they had 5 plays in Buffalo territory because their one touchdown come from the big play. After that, they just never could cross the 50-yard line up until late in the game where the Bills were basically like, all right, let's get out of this healthy. Mm-hmm. I think they went to that a little early, but they kind of turned off the ignition. We're like, we're just going to kind of glide here to the divisional round. But you'd have gone through Bo Nix and then Jackson. And then for Allen, again, it's the same with Lamar. I don't imagine the Bills win without Allen having a great game. He adds another great game to his legacy and is going back to the AFC Championship. And I think for both of these teams as well, there's a feeling you are better than Kansas City. They may have the one seed, but you both are better than them right now. And it, again, it just adds credibility to what they're building, what they're doing, the whole thing. And yeah, there's a reason why no team has gone 3 straight in Super Bowl wins. It's hard to do. And I heard yesterday on Shulman Bulldog too, there was a caller that brought up the idea that whoever wins this game is just going to be emotionally and physically shot going into Kansas City, and that Kansas City is getting an advantage there. I don't necessarily think Kansas City is going to have all that fun of a time with Houston. For as bad as Houston played, that defensive front is still good. And the tackles for Kansas City are still bad. Mm-hmm. And so while they may not play well enough to win, I think they can physically beat up Kansas City. I think they can make them sweat to get there. I think Kansas City will still win. But I also don't totally think that you're going to shoot all your bullets, essentially, to get through this game. Both know the end goal is the AFC Championship. They just got to get through this one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a kind of an underrated thing that's been so bad for the Chiefs this season is their offensive line. I think there's a lot of the reason why Patrick Mahomes has the numbers he does, which they're still great, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but they're not what we're used to seeing, I guess, and it's kind of heavily impacted by that. So I think it has a lot to do with that. Like, you're right with, you know, I honestly thought Houston I thought the Chargers were going to have a little bit more of a fight than they did.
Totally agree.
It just kind of seemed like they just fell apart. You know, it didn't seem like it all came together.
It seemed like a team that the playoff moment was too big for them. All of a sudden, receivers couldn't catch. Herbert even made some bad throws.
It's not even that big of a moment, though. And that's the part that, like, is just crazy to me, is that you're in a wild card game. Sure, you're on the road.
Yeah, but if you're Herbert, you're what, 5-6 years into your career, you haven't won a playoff game. The one playoff game you were in is like one of the most historic collapses.
Right. I get that. But you have a new head coach. You have a new mentality. You have a new team. You have all this stuff. And it's looked great. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, for what he is, he's turned that. It felt like he turned that team around for most of the season.
Still, I think he still has.
Yeah, but like, it's that mental hurdle in the playoffs. And sure, it's the bright lights and it's the playoffs and it's a tough test, but like, it's the wild card round. You're going to Houston and you're favored.
Yeah, but I mean, it does matter. You're in Houston. It's on the road. It's still the playoffs. Look at Minnesota last night.
Sure,
Minnesota wins 14 games. They're never in that ballgame.
No.
Never in that ballgame.
Never. Not even
after
once.
The weird fumble, but not actually because he pitched it forward.
And it's also not intentional grounding.
Yeah, that would have made it 10-10 if it counted. I was upset in the moment. I can get it now. But they were never in that ballgame. And that's the thing. I mean, winning a playoff game is hard. It is very, very difficult. Mike Tomlin has not won one since 2015, 2016. You know, coaches go years without winning playoff games. Good coaches as well. It's difficult, and it's not this going to be you're eventually going to get it. That's why I do still, I guess, give credit to the Bills. Is one way to put it. I still give them credit for getting to the divisional round. Now 5 straight years, they keep winning playoff games. In an era in the NFL as well, you don't get the bye week for the 2 seed. They've had the 2 seed so many times in this run. Usually, they should just be starting off in the divisional round if we're going off of any other era in history, except now where they have to play these wild card games. You wonder where the Bills would be if we still had just the 6 seeds and 1 and 2 seed both got bye weeks. You wonder, do they make more AFC Championship games? Have they made a Super Bowl with rest, the whole thing? Last year, I think, is a big example of that, too, because you lost all your linebackers against Pittsburgh in a game you were dominating, but just injuries hit you. It kind of started to feel like that with Denver as well, but it seems like they sort of missed any kind of catastrophic news outside of Ray Davis. He did pick up a concussion. We'll keep eye on that, especially when the Bills get back to work tomorrow. But it's hard to win in the playoffs, and that's why with one game, I think both Allen and Lamar can very radically change how people talk about them for years to come. I think they absolutely can, because it's against each other, it's against a premier opponent, it will get you to an AFC Championship game. For Lamar, it'll be 2 in a row, for Allen, it'll be the first since 2020, but it will feel like, okay, now you're starting to beat teams in the playoffs, now you're going on the run, now the run has started. And the emotional momentum that kind of builds. You've beaten Kansas City multiple times in a row in the regular season. You've beaten them at Arrowhead. So that kind of stadium and that crowd has sort of lost its luster for how, I guess, people would even think about it. I would say Kansas City would still be favored in either game against Baltimore or Buffalo just because they are at home. But, man, I can't wait. I love that legacies are defined here, and these teams are not the same teams that played in Week 4. I didn't say the score 35-10 is not totally indicative of how that game turned out. It eventually got there, but even if you go back to the failed trick play that kind of like ruined any sort of building blocks the Bills were putting up, there was a chance the Bills were going to make that game 21-17. I'm not saying definitively, but there's a good chance that was where that was heading. Now, all of a sudden, you are in a dogfight. And for all the bad will you did, without 3 of your marquee starters on that defense, you're in that game on the road in Baltimore. And you don't have Amari Cooper. Khalil Shakir is hurt. And you're still trying to figure out what the offense is. Now, you know what the offense is. It's a wagon. It is a wagon. Against the third best rush defense in football, Josh, they put up 200 yards rushing. 100 in the first quarter with James Cook. I mean, he was unbelievable. Allen has completely figured out this offense and where he wants to go with the ball. He missed a few shots on Sunday, but then kind of dialed it in. He went 20 for 26. I mean, honestly, if you just looked at the stat line, you wouldn't even think he missed anybody. He was dialed in completely. They go to Shakir. Kincaid and Knox were involved very early. The running backs. Ty Johnson is a weapon for them.
Ty Johnson has been probably one of the best practice squad, waiver wire pickups, whatever you want to call him, like in a long time. I mean, he was just kind of a guy that came in here, and now all of a sudden he's an integral part of their offense, and he has been most of the season. It's not just one game. It's been time and time again you see him, and even Ray Davis too. They both get involved very easily in this offense, and I love that. Like
it is very seamless, I love what James, how they can move through the running backs and each kind of have their role.
Right, because I love what James Cook does, because he is kind of become that reliable, like, hey, give him the ball. He'll get you 6 to 7 yards, maybe more. You know, we'll see what happens. But then you have Ray Davis, who just runs through your face, and you have Ty Johnson, who's kind of just your – he's your new gadget guy, if you think about it. Like, he – sure, he does run plays, but most of the time he's just kind of out there running around and say, hey, look, there he is.
I love that they finally figured out, like, the Nyheim Hines, the J.D. McKissick role in a guy like Ty Johnson.
The touchdown that was – the Keon Coleman touchdown in the Jets game, that was going to Ty Johnson. And Coleman just happened to be there, and I'm kind of glad he was, because he was able to get up for that. I don't know if Johnson would have got up for that, but you know, it's the fact that he's so heavily involved, and Allen trusts him so much in this offense. That's something that you didn't see in a team that was last year's team. And again, you know, we've talked about it as the season has gone on, how this everybody eats thing has kind of evolved and changed over the course of the season.
Yep,
it is. So much different than what I ever thought it was going to be. I anticipated it being, you know, every other bit, not necessarily broken down like this, but to put it in the simplest form, every week somebody else is going to be going off and there's going to be no one person in charge. And that's, you know, it is, there's no one person in charge, but it's so much more fluid than I ever expected. It's so, and it works so well. Right?
It feels, like, very natural.
Yeah, it doesn't like feel forced. It doesn't feel like
everyone knows their roles.
Yeah.
Again, Cooper is a guy who, against Patrick Surtain, gets what, like one target? Mm-hmm. But you can even feel his presence in the offense of it's dragging away a corner.
Yeah.
It's dragging away coverage to free up a guy like Curtis Samuel, who, by the way, two straight weeks he has actually led the Bills in receiving yards. He led the Bills against the Patriots. He led them this week, albeit kind of one big play,
right?
But still, he's wide open.
Yeah,
it was a design play. Allen gets it to him, and then he makes it work.
And to be fair, like, the throw from Allen to find him was great, but the yards after catch, where he breaks three guys, he breaks a tackle, and he also gets past two defenders to get to the end zone. Like, that in itself is impressive for a guy that hasn't had to do much this season. Has kind of struggled with injuries and things like that. So, just seeing how locked in these guys are, even if they're not part of the game or not part of the game plan that day, that's how you can see that. Like, let's say that was Curtis Samuel's only catch or only target of the day. Just to have that happen on one play, like, that's impressive. And how many teams can say that, you know, is their game plan, right? Like, sure, that happens where, you know, your third receiver or your fourth receiver catches a ball and makes a good play and gets a touchdown. But how many teams out there can reliably do that week in and week out with whoever is on the field? Like, just because it's not Keon Coleman's week, he could still go out there and boom, in one play he has a 40-yard touchdown, and you know that's all he's going to do that day. But he put up 7 points.
Yeah,
right. Like, that's the thing that I love so much about this offense is you're not watching one guy anymore. You're watching everybody because you know everybody can do it.
And that's the thing, too, and I think why it's so difficult for teams to defend Buffalo now, why, like, they went on a streak of putting up 30 points and it started right back up in the playoffs.
I was going to say, it's just going again.
You can't just cover Amari Cooper. You can't just cover Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, or Khalil Shakir, because someone else is going to get open. Someone else is going to make a big play. You saw Kincaid make a big play, Knox make a big play, and it puts teams in a bad spot. And then you have Allen, who is one of the best improvising quarterbacks the NFL has ever seen. And then now you have something the Bills have not had under Allen. You have a top five running back in the sport in James Cook, who can just grind you into the ground, especially with how good this offensive line is, with Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown being two of the best tackles in all of football. Spencer Brown really has flourished and blossomed into one of the best right tackles in the entire sport. It just they went up against one of the best defenses in football and put up 31 on them, and they didn't play particularly well in the first half.
Right.
Like, that's a big thing for me is that in the red zone, they kind of struggled. You had the non-call on Kincaid. You had the miss to Knox. If they hit those, you're looking at a game that's like 38-7, 45-7. You're blowing them out, and it's never even close. Mitch Trubisky's in for the entire fourth quarter, and that's against one of the best defenses in football, third best rush defense.
Well,
the most sacks in the NFL, an All-Pro in Surtain, and it did not matter.
I pulled up some of the defensive rankings for this season. The best rushing defense in the NFL is the Ravens.
Okay,
and they have given up 80 yards per game, best in the NFL at that. However, on the opposite end of things, they're the second worst and against pass defense.
Still?
Wow. Yeah, still. I mean, that right. That could be. I was going to ask you, do you think that's inflated because of what how kind of poor the first half of the year was? Because the first half of the year for the Ravens was not good in terms of
defense.
Like
everything I've seen is just like they're like top five in like every category now.
I mean, this is like overall the entire season compared to everybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, again, if it's a per game, a yards per game, it might be a little inflated because of the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is that, but they are the best rushing defense in the NFL. So that is, again, going to be a test for the Bills running backs. I mean, like you just said, the Broncos are third in the NFL, and the Bills put up 200 yards on them in rushing. So, I mean, can the Bills do that this week? I hope so, because I feel like that was a big part of the game plan this past week was controlling the ball and running the clock, essentially. And I think that's one thing the Bills have done nicely this year in terms of controlling the pace of play is when they do get a chance to run the ball, they run it and they run it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced the Broncos to go one-dimensional. If you can force the Ravens to not give the ball to Derrick Henry, that's a huge, huge plus.
It becomes a lot like the Lions game or the Chiefs game where you just have to push it to where they aren't allowed or they kind of can't just give the ball 25, 30 times to Henry. Like
right.
You saw
and
you saw in the Pittsburgh game where they just kind of could lean on you the whole thing. I wonder, too, about their rush defense being more along the lines of they're blowing teams out and you have to pass. And that's why their pass defense scores are so low is that in reality when the game is tight, they're very good. It's when the game gets away and now teams are forced to pass. They get kind of the garbage yards. Blake Bortles, the king of it. I wonder if that's where that – I am interested, though, in just the rushing yards allowed on average, 13 yards better than second place.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 80. The Vikings were at 93.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun matchup. I can't wait. This is one of those games I'm genuinely looking forward to. Like, I've gotten to the point with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily look forward to those games anymore. And I've said in the regular season, like, I didn't get up for it too much because, like, it matters in the playoffs. You've beaten them in the regular season, what, 3 years in a row? I'm good. I'm done. I need them to see them beat them in the playoffs. With the postseason now, it's kind of like there's just this constant nervousness for me with KC because, like, you just expect Mahomes to have a banger. Like, you just assume he's going to have 280 yards at minimum, three touchdowns, no picks, and some freaky plays that just have you just mouth on the floor.
Yeah.
The same is not with Lamar. I'm not saying I expect him to have a bad game. I don't expect him, though, to have an amazing game. Like I mentioned, like for them to win, I think he has to have a great game. He has to match Allen.
Like I said, look at last week. I mean, sure, you're playing a bad Pittsburgh team. He only throws for 175 yards, but on 21 attempts, 16 completions.
They didn't need to pass.
Right.
They didn't
but
need to pass.
But at the same
even
time,
then, that's what I mean. You look at the Steelers team, though, what fight did they give them?
Right.
None.
Yeah.
None.
His leading receiver had 53 yards.
They gave them no fight, and we don't know if Zay Flowers is going to be good to go. We just don't.
Yeah.
The Ravens don't sound all that confident. Listen to Adam Schefter yesterday on Pat McAfee. He's saying there's a chance, but he's trying to be like as kind of polite about it as possible. Like, sure, there's a chance. Maybe we'll see.
There's always a chance, but
I'm excited for this matchup. I think the Bills match up incredibly well. I think this could be the game of the season, regardless of who wins in the Super Bowl and the championship games, the whole thing. This feels like Ali Frazier, Celtics-Lakers prime time. And I think especially, too, because there has become animosity between the fan bases, with the MVP discourse and all that, I think it's going to be electric, especially later this week, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about Bills and Ravens this Sunday at 6:30? Do the three defensive players returning, Milano, Bernard, and Johnson, play a huge difference in how you feel about this game? I think it does. We'll jump into that a little bit more after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're not trying to do anything drastically different. We're just trying to go out there and play our best football. We had a really good week of practice. We had a great week of game planning. I thought our offensive staff, again, put in some great plays as you saw today. But ultimately, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and Joes, and guys are ready to go. We got our rest, getting able to kind of not play everybody that last game. Guys were refreshed, and again, we're going to need to get our rest this week. And we got a really, really good Baltimore Ravens team coming here. They put the thumping on us earlier in the year, and we know that, we understand that. So again, it's the most important games because it's the next one.
There's Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about the upcoming matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. Going back to that Week 4 game, too, against Baltimore, I think initially a lot of the talking points was how good Derrick Henry was. You know, putting up almost literally a yard under 200 yards on 24 attempts, the big rushing touchdown to open up the game. For me, more the storyline, and I think for a lot of people now, has become the Bills offense only putting up 10 points. Allen himself going 16 for 29, 180 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Actually had no touchdowns at all, didn't even have a rushing one either. Just them putting up 10 points there. Really kind of just, you're not going to win, especially a road game, doing that. You're at home. I cannot, and I know Jeremy's talked about this a lot on Twitter, at least from what I've seen, you're not getting that same performance. I also don't think you're getting 35 from Baltimore. That was when the game just kind of fell apart, and the Bills sort of just, all right, we're not winning this. And I think a lot of it was after the trick play as well. I mean, there was a point where you could have made that 21-17, and it's a drastically different game from that point. But also on the defensive side, you are missing Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, and Matt Milano. And I think a big note from Sunday's game, Matt Milano
looked like Matt Milano.
That was maybe the first sign in a long time where you went, okay, there he is.
That one, the play right, I think it was right after Taron Johnson went out, when Milano chases Nicks and gets to him before he gets,
I think, ultimately gets notched as a sack for Milano.
I think so. But that's the closing speed that you're used to seeing with Matt Milano. And if that's, you know, if it's a mental thing, if it's a, hey, ramp up when you get to the playoffs, whatever the case may be, because the past few weeks, still, like, you look at him and it's like that he's there, but he's not. You know, and now it seems like he's using that speed again. Trusting, if it's a trust thing or whatever, like trusting his body. I don't know, but whatever it is, keep doing it.
And let's get more on that as we get in contact to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Matt is on the line. Matt, how are we doing this morning?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing good.
Cool. Well, I just want to start off by saying that this game is not going to look even close to the same as it did in Week 4. Your question was, does the return of these three defenders have a big impact? And I mean, it's a resounding yes. But I'd like to also point out that on offense, this was Week 4. So Matt Collins was still trying to figure it out. Curtis Samuel wasn't really playing for us yet. Keon Coleman hadn't really started to emerge yet.
Shakir gets hurt.
I was going to point that out, too. Mm-hmm. Shakir was also hurt. We had not acquired Amari Cooper yet. We are entirely different.
Yeah, and I think that's why, man. Yeah. Thanks for the call. And that's why, like, I'm so excited for this game. I'm not nervous. I'm just excited. Like, there's this, like, apprehension of, like, I think for some people of, like, just embracing, like, a great playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait. This is going to be, I think, one of those iconic games. And I'm sorry. Allen is too good of a quarterback to not have a few of these, like, under his belt. He's too good of a quarterback. He's going to get one of these games where it's just like, man, it's historic. That's unbelievable. They're not all going to go to Mahomes. They're just not. And I cannot wait. They're a completely different team. They're healthy. They have been preparing for this moment. No matter what they tell you, so at least parts of this coaching staff, maybe not the D coordinator, the OC, the special teams coordinator, the head coach, but parts of this coaching staff have been preparing for Baltimore for weeks, knowing we're going to be the two, they're likely going to be the three. And even if they're not, like, there's a good chance we will take them on in the divisional round.
Yeah.
And we can get them at home, and let's see what we can do. And now seeing how well Matt Milano was able to play and in the game leading up to this. And really, the defense having a pretty good kind of run here the last few weeks. Not necessarily the safeties. They've given up two big plays 2 weeks in a row, which is not great. I don't love that. But for the most part, the defense has been kind of starting to put it together. You saw the Jets game, essentially a blowout. They score,
yeah, right.
Or essentially a shutout. They score right at the end with Tyrod Taylor in it at quarterback.
Which is just, it's still so fun.
Patriots game, kind of a wash. Don't really care about that one. That's a lot of backups. But, you know, the Milton play kind of hurts a little bit.
Yeah, the one play from Rapp was a little tough. But
then they play Denver, 29 touchdowns as a rookie. Sean Payton as the OC. They go 2 for 9 on third downs. They put up one touchdown. It's their first drive. They have, late into the third, 5 plays in Buffalo territory. I'm not saying they've entirely turned it around. I still think there are some kinks in the armor. There were misses by Knicks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not act like, and I don't think anybody is here, but let's not act like Lamar's been this perfect playoff performer. He's openly admitted himself he gets a little tight in these games.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I think Bills defensively wise, we've talked about it week after week after week. The pass rush has to start getting home. I mean, there was a couple times in that game where, in this past game against the Broncos, where, yeah, they were getting to Knicks, but he was just getting the ball out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of times I've seen Von Miller chase a quarterback out of the pocket this year and not be able to get to him it's crazy.
Yeah, because you're like, the pressure rate's awesome. I just need you to finish the play.
Right, because the pressure rate's fine when you have someone else with you or when the quarterback throws the ball away. But when, even with Bo Nix, he's getting 5, 10, 15 yards on a rush, then who cares about the pressure rate? You're not doing anything. And especially with a guy like Lamar Jackson, who, I mean, if you thought Nix could run, because he was pretty mobile, but if you thought he could run, and we know this, Lamar Jackson's going to run even more. And I think that, you know, if just early on in the game you get home to the quarterback and you get him once and just even, you know, knock him off balance as he's throwing the ball. Like, he gets it out, but you hit him, right? You get a quarterback hit. That is something. Like, that's a stepping stone, a building block, if you will. And it's something that the pass rush hasn't really been able to do as effectively for like a month.
Well, it's why you have all of us already looking ahead to the offseason going, man, Myles Garrett's going to look real cool in the building uniform.
Yeah, but, he is. But it's
one of those things. Look, your team is ultimately your team now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like what the defense is starting to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been perfect? No. Have they played the best opponents to prove it? No. I'd also say Baltimore, in this little run they've had here, have not played particularly the finest of opponents as they've closed out their season. They're playing Steelers team twice, who, I'm sorry, have looked horrendous.
No, don't apologize.
For a month and
don't
a half.
Don't apologize for mediocrity that's lasted for 15 years.
Terrible. The
Do
Giants,
something.
The Giants, who are going to pick top 5.
Right.
Houston, who, they played bad in a playoff game and still won running away because of defensive scores.
The Browns.
And the Browns.
Yeah.
So let's not act like their schedule here has kind of all of a sudden been this indicative, like, never mind, there's the Ravens. They've always beaten up on bad teams. Always. That's their whole MO.
I mean, even looking back further, they lost to the Steelers.
16-18. You know, 18-16. Philadelphia held them under 20 points.
They barely beat the Bengals 35-34.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definite. If you want to talk about, you know, spots in the armor to look at, like the Ravens do have those still. Like, yeah, their defense has definitely gotten a lot better as the season has gone on, but it's not as daunting as it looks.
Yeah,
and
it's just not.
Obviously, the main focus this week is what is Derrick Henry going to do, and if that 87-yard touchdown run didn't happen against the Bills, I don't think people would be as nervous about him. Yes, he's a great running back. Yes, he's incredible at what he does, and he's just a big human.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that 87-yard touchdown run is a 40-yard touchdown run. Sure, it's still shocking, and it's still, oh my God, what just happened? But it's not.
It's not the
that guy just ran the length of the field effortlessly, and there's ways to stop him. Teams have done it. There's been games the one point in the year. When Derrick Henry was held under 90 rushing yards, the Ravens were 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
So teams have done it. They figured it out how to do it. And, you know, it's tough.
You have to get up on them early.
The first quarter
will be indicative of how the rest of the game will go.
The Bills can't have their normal slow start and adjust at the halftime. They have to get out right away. I mean,
against Kansas City and Detroit, they got right on them.
Yep, exactly. And to be fair, in both of those games, and I'm not saying, you know, in other games where it's a big opponent, they didn't think like this, but in both of those games, you know, going into it, this is a tough opponent. We need to be on it right away. And that's what they're going to, I mean, they're going to know that going into this game specifically, because it's the first big opponent the Bills have had to play in how many weeks, right? Like, it since the Detroit game.
Well, I also, you know, Denver, it's a playoff game in general.
Well,
But in terms of like,
in terms of
you know, they're going to
brings to the table.
Yeah, you know, they're going to match you talent level for talent level.
Yeah.
This is the first game since Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's just they have shown at times this year they can get up on teams fast. And this game feels like one of those games. I have got a great feeling going into Sunday. I just do. I can't really explain it past that. This is the best I've felt going in the playoffs since 20. I think the Bills are playing some of the best football in the NFL. And to be fair, looking at the Ravens' schedule, I mean, sure, they've played great. Look who they've played. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll keep this conversation going. Dennis, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you next. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Before we take our next time out, we're going to go back to the phones. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, how are we doing today?
How are we doing, guys? Hope you're having a good day.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get
something off my chest. You have a lot of smart callers that come in, and they talk all different types of sports, football being number one right now. X's and O's and matchups and philosophies, they're all great. But in Western New York, the players just have to look in the mirror and look at each other and say, not in our house. You're not going to come in to Orchard Park, New York, and treat our team like you do your home field and away games you play. This is Orchard Park, home of the Mafia. You're not going to do it in our house. And just pack them up out of Orchard Park and send them home with a loss. You just have to make up your mind and roll up your sleeves that you're going to get it done. You're going to get it done for your teammates, your coaching staff, the whole organization, and the fans. You're not going to do it in our house. This is our year. It's not going to happen.
Dennis, thanks for the call. I love the sentiment. It's easier said than done. I think Harbaugh has the most road playoff wins in a career. I think he's at 9.
I was trying to do some research on that. It's a little tough to – it's not exactly a stat.
Yeah, I believe he's at 9 because I looked it up yesterday. And the Bills have lost in the playoffs the last 2 years at home. They're undefeated this year in Orchard Park. So, they've done a damn good job at defending home turf.
8.
Yeah, but I think he won another one with the Titans. I think that stat was old because I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was like, that doesn't sound right. He got a lot of them early, and then the Titans won. But it's tough to win playoff games, and the Bills, a lot of the time these last 2 years, have either come on empty, out of gas. The DeMar Hamlin situation, Matt Milano and his brother, Kim Pegula, the snowstorms in 22, in 23, they had no linebackers going up against the Chiefs, and even then it was still very, very close. It's tough to win road playoff games, but if there's somebody that does it really well, it is Harbaugh. It is John Harbaugh. But again, I feel really, really good about this game. The Bills are healthy. They're playing some of their best football. Not saying they've necessarily played the best competition to prove that as of late, but I wouldn't say Baltimore has either. The Giants, Steelers twice, Houston, and Cleveland. And Houston, I'm sorry, they look terrible. The Chargers just looked way worse in their game. Did you watch much of that game, though, Josh?
Which one? The Chargers-Texans?
Yeah. Seven combined turnovers between the two teams.
It was
awful.
Terrible. Bad.
Nico Collins is really good.
For sure.
And Derek Stingley's awesome.
I think the other thing, too, that's kind of comes into play with all this, you know, when the Ravens come here, the last 2 years of losing at home are definitely on the minds of a lot of these guys. I mean, they don't want to lose for a third straight year at home. That's something that is most certainly playing into effect here. And that's another reason why I'm so confident in this, is they're going to have the confidence and the know, this is our stadium. Let's go out and win it here, because people think we can't. So,
I think
that's a driving force there, for
especially
sure.
With you being healthy too. I think crowd noise is going to play a factor in it. The Ravens are the second most penalized team in all of football. I don't necessarily have the pre-snap penalties down, but in terms of just overall penalties, they're only behind the Jets. I think they have 132 to the Jets 137. So, depending on how those stats break down, you can maybe get them on some false starts, stuff like that. If you can get them in third and longs too, look, as much as the third down defense freaks me out, I don't love it. They did a damn good job on Sunday. 2 for 9 for Denver, and Denver was chasing most of that game. They also had some third and shorts as well. They got off the field on Sunday. Not too much in the first drive. After that, they were really, really good. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to keep talking Bills and Ravens, but also jump in on a hole for this wild card round this week. It was really bad football all around, except for one game. Even as a Bills fan, Bills-Broncos was super boring by the third quarter. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.